I always love your Twitter handles here. So at Deacon Punnett, DEACONPUNNETT. Hunter Swine J checking in. Good to hear from, let's see. I love some of these. Devastation. That was good. Did I mention that one earlier? And then Nick's Wife, Shelter Nook, Vega Scrabble. Or is that Vegas Scrabble? Oh, sorry. Not Scrabble. Listen to me. Vega Scabby. Love all that stuff. So thank you so much. Love keeping in touch with you during the week. And we can do that on the Twitter account. And then also here coming up then, we'll stay in touch with you by taking your calls. You don't have to be a police officer to be able to contribute to this conversation. Although you might have an experience as a police officer you're willing to share. And don't worry, we'll try to keep you anonymous so you don't get too much hazing from the other cops on the beat. True police stories of the strange and unexplained continued next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. So we have a Paul in Boston coming up, and we'll get to a couple other callers, too, on Coast to Coast for true police stories of the strange and unexplained. Ingrid Dean, if you had to pick a theme that you think weaves through these police officers' stories, what would that theme be?
I think that it's a very complete view of the human condition. You know, there's a lot of, unusually, strange stories, mystical experiences, the paranormal, very unusual, but it's very heart-oriented. And I really do believe that it moves towards a more complete view of the police officer and what we do. There's a section in there called The Police Heart, and it just gives a positive perspective of the police that you don't usually see on television.
Well, I will tell you, I mean, we had a conversation a couple of weeks ago, and it's continued on the air about the former police chief of Seattle's book, which kind of chronicles the dark side of policing. And he's very pro-police, but he also talks about how hard it is to do that job, and the fact that there's so many things that are put upon police officers that it's no surprise that a certain percentage of them go bad, and they do a lot of damage to the reputation of police departments, but also that, if we weren't trying to use police officers as foot soldiers in a drug war that we can't win. It's his opinion as the former police chief of Seattle and then also assistant police chief in San Diego and other cities that when we do that, when we can take the pressure off of police officers to be doing things that won't have a success rate, that's not going to return, a sense of justice to the police officers. They're going to feel like so many of the things that they do, they want to feel like that has a purpose instead of like they're on some sort of treadmill that just keeps them doing the same thing over and over again and never giving them the reward of really doing the kind of life-saving work
treadmill is their own department. I think almost every experienced officer would agree with me that much of our stress is internal. It almost has nothing to do with our service to the public. There's a lot of politics, there's bureaucracy, there's just, government crap and rules that we have to follow, and it inhibits us sometimes to have so many rules. And I think that that's where a lot of our pressure is.
That's an interesting perspective, too. East of the Rockies, Rick is in North Carolina on Coast to Coast for Detective Sergeant Ingrid P. Dean, True Police Stories of the Strange and Unexplained. Rick?
Hey.
Hey.
I'm working tonight.
Actually, are you?
Yeah, I don't work in North Carolina anymore. I've since moved to another state, and I can't explain why, but I was listening to your show earlier while I've been on patrol, and I've had a strange experience. It actually saved me another police officer's life. Another officer pulled a vehicle over, had a couple of people in it about 10 or 15 years ago. And it was about this time right now, about 3:30 in the morning. And, I cannot tell people, I don't, that I have premonitions, because they think I'm crazy and I'd have lost my job. But I had a premonition when he got his guy out of his vehicle. I saw an assault rifle come out of the back of the window of this truck, but I knew it wasn't real. And all of a sudden, I said, look, I said, Dave, the guy's got a gun on him. And he actually did. He had a gun on him. He had it. He wore a gun just like we did. And needless to say, he got two Glocks stuck right in his face. You know. But we got to go home. I can tell that story. I've had some other experiences, you know, just not at work, but just some weird things.
Sure.
But
well, I appreciate you jumping in on that. In fact, it reminds me, and thank you, Rick, and I'm glad you survived those. It reminded me of that other story in your book, To Ingrid, about a police officer that had a premonition just like that on what they thought was going to be a bad stop. And it was somebody that ended up having like an Uzi, wasn't it?
Oh, that was, I remember that. I can't remember the title of it.
But I mean, the police, he sensed, don't get too close to this car, pull back a little bit further than you might ordinarily on a stop. And when he and his partner are getting out of the car, the guy just steps out with an Uzi and just starts firing.
That's right. And the officer talks about how everything kind of goes into slow motion, which a lot of psychologists out there would say that this is normal when you're in a traumatic situation, that things do really slow down. But he describes a big, bright light, and he can't put his finger on it. But he knows that he's divinely protected. There's a voice in his head that says, you won't be hurt. I will act as a shield. And it was like an automatic weapon that was firing 100 rounds at his vehicle. And how he survived is quite miraculous.
Yep.
You know, he was able to give off a few shots from his weapon, but the car did get away. And he was just beside himself that he had survived that. Yeah. And the light really got his attention. The bright light of being divinely protected.
Let's go to Brian, who's in Idaho, west of the Rockies on Coast to Coast, for Detective Sergeant Ingrid P. Dean. Brian?
Well, thank you. My story, and I'm not a police officer, but when I was in college, I was riding with a guy, and we'd both been drinking, and we're on a little country road, and I heard a voice, real calm and kind of an androgynous, wasn't male or female, but real calm voice that said three words, said, recline your seat, and not used to hearing voices, and so I listened, and I reclined the seat, and literally seconds later, the car went off the road, flipped end over end five times, and a tiny little car, and I'm a really tall guy, had T-tops, and the roof was pushed back in such a way that had I not reclined my seat, the top of my head would have just been taken off. Mm. And so, you know, that one little voice that I heard, it saved my life, and had to find out what that voice was, and I've kind of attributed it to God. It may have been an angel, but I've attributed it to God, and it's kind of changed my life.
Well, we call that the still small voice.
Absolutely.
When you
divine
listen to
guidance,
that
divine intervention.
Yeah, when you hear that, it's very distinct. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate that. We have a rule in our house that whenever we hear that voice, we act on it, even if it sounds crazy, even if it seems like something that's completely inconsistent with the facts and evidence. And we never question each other. My wife and I, if she
Absolutely.
Says, I've heard the still small voice, I have to do this. That's it. I never put, there's no pushback, except when it's like the billionth time that she said she's going to check the iron, you know, after we've got like three blocks away and we've gone back and we've checked it before. Sometimes I think she's abusing that. But anyway, let's go to Chris, first time caller line in FLA on Coast to Coast. Chris?
How you doing, sir?
Doing all right. You're talking with Ingrid Dean, True Police Stories of the Strange and Unexplained.
Well, I just wanted to thank all the police officers out there you know, work for us every day, and I just wanted to thank them for doing their duty.
Thank you.
I had a story. My brother died on his motorcycle 1 week, about 5 years ago, and his girlfriend lived with him. He kicked her out about 3 weeks earlier, and the neighbor even said that that's what happened to the police officer, you know, told that to the police officer. And we're all just distraught because he's the oldest and he was, you know, he was the one, you know, he was the oldest one that everybody looked up to. And the girlfriend said, oh, no, I live there. I have two lamps there. And so the police officer said, okay, you have two lamps. You live there. It's yours. Everything that he owned was hers now, which was really bad because it was a lot of pictures and just sure. personal items that belonged to everybody in the family that she was able to get a hold of. And I was just totally distraught. I'm the middle kid, and I looked up to him really, really bad.
Of course.
And I was just totally distraught. I'm beaten on the steering wheel. We go to the police station to try to talk to his captain and tell him what's going on, but we couldn't get in touch with him in time. And I'm just beating on the steering wheel, and I look up, and he always gave me a muscle, an arm, you know, like you put a fist up and you make a muscle.
Right.
And he always gave me, you, be safe, be good, you know, be careful, that type of thing.
Right.
And right next to the police station was the funeral home that he was at, and the road right next to it was like a one-car road. You could only go one car down it. And I'm sitting there, and I'm beating on the steering wheel, and I look up, and over the funeral home in the police station floated this arm with a fist, a hand, a muscle, an arm, and it's putting goosebumps on me right now just seeing it. It was a cloud that was made like that over this funeral home, and it sat there for about a good 5 minutes. My brother walked out and looked at it, and he couldn't believe what we were seeing. You know, we couldn't believe what we... But sure. this calmness came over me, and this, like you was talking about, the little voice in my head just said, it's material things that don't matter. And that's what I got from that. It was like I was so distraught. And they say when you're that distraught, you know, when you're crying that bad over something, you know, something else kicks in. Somebody else or right. something kicks in and tells you. And I looked up, and I seen this cloud that was made out of, you know, that was made into a muscle, an arm, a fist. You could see the knuckles on the hand, the thumb wrapping the finger. I mean, it was a perfect arm making a muscle.
You know, that's a wonderful story because there's a chapter in Two Police Stories of the Strange and Unexplained, and it's called Signs, Symbols, and Synchronicity. And as police officers, we see signs like that, too. It's kind of bizarre, but I recall one incident where an officer's in the car, and for whatever reason, somebody put a bullet in the visor. And he stops his car, and he pulls down the visor to get his glasses, and this bullet falls on his lap. Now, all it is a bullet. But if you look at it as a symbol, the hair stood up on his neck, and he said, maybe the car that I just stopped is a little dangerous. It's the same. Symbols are a funny thing. You know, you can see them in the form of clouds. You can see them in the form of people or bullets that fall in your lap. But
well, I had this one incident to where it was like somebody slapped me. I didn't have a driver's license. I shouldn't have been driving. And I was going over this overpass, and something like slapped me in the back of my head, said, slow down. And I slowed down to 65. I was doing like 80. I had a really nice car, fast car. And I slowed down, and there must have been four officers with radar guns going by. Like you was talking about, that little voice in the back of your head. It slapped me in the back of my head and told me to slow down. I slowed down. I got by the cops. Not trying to be... You know, that's just one of my little stories. I shouldn't have.
No, that's fair enough. It's an interesting way of looking at it. I appreciate that. And thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Let's go to Pat in Michigan, Wildcard Line on Coast to Coast for Strange and Unexplained, the true stories of police officers and Detective Sergeant Ingrid P. Dean from Michigan. Pat? Is Pat still there on a Wildcard Line?
Yeah, good morning, and how are you?
Good morning. Go ahead.
I was out on patrol one night, and a routine patrol, and all at once I saw a sphere kind of illuminated in the sky. I called this sphere, this incident in, told another officer to come out to, you know, help me out to respond. There was no help arrived, so I called the local local base near me, and I just explained to them what was going on. Oh, they said this thing was maybe a gas burp off or something like that. Well, there was no substations in the area or anything like that. That's what I call. That's what I was saying. It was strange, and I just was wondering if anybody else has ever seen anything or like that, like in those instances, you know.
What part of Michigan are you from?
Well, I was in the New Haven area at the time.
Yeah. We've had a lot of UFO sightings in Michigan, and personally, I think it's because we have such a large source of fresh water. And there is a story in True Police Stories of the Strange and Unexplained called Colors Never Seen Before. And it's a story about a trooper that saw a real UFO in Kingsley, Michigan. He videotaped it. I mean, it's pretty obvious when you watch the video that this is no reflection. This is no gaseous whatever.
Right.
It's a real material thing that does not look military. It's round and it's a saucer. So what you're saying is probably quite real, and you really may have seen a UFO that's just not from Earth.
Yeah, I thought it was strange that I called the authorities that I was supposed to call, and nobody responded to me.
That's interesting. Some respond and some don't. It just depends on whether they take you seriously or not. And I think this story made it into my book because it was a trooper that saw it. And
sure.
I like to think we're pretty credible and reliable, and we're certainly not going to lie about this stuff. Some people listen and some people don't. But I believe you. There's a lot of UFO sightings around here.
So real quickly, back in the studio, tell me, David, John is from Scott? No, John. Did we lose John, was it? Okay, so Scott from California, Wildcard Line on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Scott.
Yes, hi. Hi. Boy, am I glad I got through. I just began listening, and she's from Michigan, and I was actually born and raised in Charlevoix County, Michigan.
Very good. That's just north of me.
Yeah, and on a little lake called Deer Lake and little ways from Charlevoix there. And I was a very, very, our family was a very, very close friend of the top sheriff of Charlevoix County for many, 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 many years. I'm sure you know him. His last name begins with an L.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just a fine, fine man. And
I fear we're going to run out of time here, Scott.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah. But I had five death experiences because I had a 28-hour brain surgery, and I died three times on the table and was revived. And then I had two extensive grand mal seizures where I was clinically dead again since. And my senses have been extremely heightened ever since, where I can look in people's eyes or just glance at them and get a sense of what type of person they are, or if they're, or just being around them, you know, like if they're a bad person or something.
Mm-hmm. You become more sensitive after you've experienced an altered state of consciousness like that. And that's actually normal if you've been through a near-death experience. I'm told that it does heighten your sensitivities. So
you're not...
I hear you.
Thank you, Scott. And we'll get to another half hour, last half hour, with Ingrid Dean, True Police Stories of the Strange and Unexplained. You don't have to be a police officer, but it's been interesting to hear the cops echoing the stories right through the book without even knowing what's there. Worth picking up. You can go ahead and grab more information about it by going to coasttocoastam.com, where you can also sign up for Coast Insider and catch the first several hours of the show. Not to be missed. Happy Halloween from Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. True police stories of the strange and unexplained continues. We'll get all of your calls. We'll try and jam in everybody for the top of the hour next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. I like the Twitter handle, I Write You Scream. Thank you for following me now, Deacon Punnett Twitter account. True police stories of the strange and unexplained. Detective Sergeant Ingrid Dean taking your calls on Coast to Coast. Got a lot to get to. Augustina is in New Mexico on a wild card line on Coast to Coast. Augustina?
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Hello. You're talking to Ingrid. Go ahead.
What I wanted to tell you was I grew up in a foster home. And in this foster home, there was my real sister who lived with me. And, you know, we had moved out. We had gotten older, and we had decided that we were going to try and find our real family. And I happened to live in an area that my family was supposed to be in the Merrimack Valley area. And so I called my sister, and she said, you know, why don't you check it out? And I said, okay. So I was driving around in the Lawrence Lowell area, trying to find the street that my sister was telling me about. And I was lost. I didn't know where I was going. And there was a 7-Eleven, and there was a cruiser there. And so I pulled up, and so I stepped out of the car, and I asked the officer, excuse me. And that's all I got out of my mouth. And he said to me, I know who you are. I know who you're looking for. You know, get in your car and follow me. And I went, what? He said, I know who you are. And I went, wow. You know, because I had never actually even seen a picture of my parents, my mother, my father. The only thing I knew was my sister, who lived in the same foster home that I lived in. So I'm like, okay, and I followed him to where he took me, and over to some apartments, and there were my cousins, and it seemed that when I was around 17, unbeknownst to me, my mother had passed away. She was murdered, and she was found on the banks of the Merrimack River. And this police officer, the one who I walked up to at the 7-Eleven, actually was the one who actually found her.
Wow.
And he told me, he said, I had just been on the force for less than a week. And that was the first thing that, you know, that was the first major thing that ever happened to me. And sure. He introduced me to my cousins, my aunts, and then they pulled out a picture of my mother, and my mother looked exactly like me.
And he knew that just by you getting out of the car, who you were related to.
I look exactly like my mother.
I'll be darned.
Exactly.
Wow.
And he's the one who found her.
Wow. Well,
impressive.
I'm so...
You met a psychic cop.
Yeah, and I'm so sorry that it happened to you. It's such a tragedy, but what an interesting story. And yeah. Thank you for, and it kind of, thank you, Augustine. It gives me an idea, too, for you, Ingrid, that maybe there's a whole book out there in stories of angelic appearances where people came as police officers, where, not people, but where a force for good, a ghost or other thing, came in the appearance of a police officer. And then, cause I've talked to somebody who had that once where they heard the sound of what they thought was a police officer behind them, a siren, and they pulled over and there was never a cop behind them. There was no siren, but when they pulled over a few minutes later and then they started back up again, they came down the road and I saw that somebody else had had an accident that they were convinced would have been them had they not pulled over. But, Scott is in El Paso on a wild card line on Coast to Coast. Scott.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a really good friend I've known for about 15 years, and about 4 years ago, he was in an accident on I-10 outside of Midland, Texas. He hit head-on with an 18-wheeler doing a combined speed of 140 and suffered a severe brain injury, and sure. He's been recovering from that
for
about 5 years. And,
yeah.
You know, thank God he survived it, and he's doing amazing. But he told me a story about 6 months ago of the accident, and he said that just before that he had fallen asleep at the wheel, and he veered head-on across a median into oncoming traffic. And he said he recalls that the first thing that he saw was like a vision of his mother. And his mother was telling him, Quentin, wake up, wake up. Mm-hmm. And he didn't really respond to it. And he said that that figure changed and actually reappeared as his girlfriend at the time. And that this person said the same thing to him, wake up, wake up. And he just, for some reason, wasn't responding. And he said, as soon as that happened, that the only thing he could describe is that God himself was sitting in his passenger seat and said, Quentin, wake up. And the result of the accident was that the paramedics found him about 50 feet from his vehicle, outside the vehicle, in fetal position with only a head trauma, no physical trauma to his body, nothing except for a head trauma, which is where he got the brain injury from. Hmm. And what happened was he woke up and he literally jumped out of the vehicle before they hit. And they confirmed that he was not in the vehicle. And if you saw photographs of his accident, you would know that he was not in that vehicle.
Sure.
And today you talk to the guy and you can tell he's been through something, but it's like, it's just miraculous that, you know, at that moment that, and to see the conviction when he tells his story, you know that he saw something and he remembers it very vividly. And, you know, I turned on your guys' program and it made me think of that. I wanted to call on and just maybe take this off the air.
I love the fact that you tell this story and at the same time, it's the sound of that, the train coming in the background that's adding to the atmosphere of it too, Scott. So it kind of like the train that's coming for us all. And thank you. We can put you on hold if you want to get a number to Ingrid. Ted is in Texas on a wild card line on Coast to Coast. Ted?
Hello?
Ted, are you still there?
Yes.
Go ahead. You're talking with Ingrid Dean.
Yes. I have the most respect for police officers. I think they do a wonderful job, and I know they put their life on the line every day. I have a story about I was asleep one night, and something woke me up, and I woke up, and I heard my wife and her brother talking about a murder, and I overheard some of it, and I walked in the room, and I said, who murdered who? And they told me, my wife rushed me off the bed and said, well, you need to go back to bed. And so I went back to bed, and I'd been sick for a long time. I had diabetes, and it was draining my energy out of me, and I didn't know what I had. But I told two officers that about the murder, and they didn't believe me, but they took me to the mental health clinic, and then the mental health clinic had talked to me for a while, and then they had the officer put handcuffs on me and take me to the hospital. And what I didn't understand, Miss Ingrid, is I'm mentally ill. I have two types of mental illness. I had a nervous breakdown when I was 17. I have schizophrenia and bipolar. But I couldn't understand why the policeman didn't believe me.
Well, you know, I'm sorry to hear that. I wish they would have sat down with you more and would have talked with you. And I think that because we deal with so many different kinds of cases and people that really are so sick that they're delusional, that they may have, you know, pegged you as being someone like that. And, you know, I'm sorry to hear that.
I am too.
Yeah, but your story is heard now.
And thank you.
You're welcome. And I believe you.
Thanks, Ted. And let's get to John in Long Beach, trying to get everybody on before the top of the hour on a wild card line. John? John, still there on a wild card line?
Hello. I'm here. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sure can.
Okay. I want to just mention something real quick. George just mentioned this one other time, and I think actually twice. There's a story about a guy. He says one of the freakiest things he's ever heard. And I've listened to the show a lot, and one of the freakiest things I've ever heard. these two police officers were told a guy was having some kind of heart problem, and they went to, as the story goes, they went to, I wonder if you've ever heard this, they went to knock on the door, didn't get an answer. Eventually, a guy came and answered the door, let him in. They saw a guy laying on the floor. They went and they administered to him, and I guess they couldn't do anything with him, that he died, and they realized the guy laying there on the floor was the same guy that let him in the door. And they thought he might have been a twin or something, and they turned around and he was gone. And this cop called it a
story. That's a good
story.
One.
I just wondered if you ever heard that story, but George tells it, and, you know, there's no explanation for that one.
No, that's a good weird and freaky story for a new
pass
book.
Pass that along. That's all I got to say tonight. But that one, I think, would be one of the freakiest police stories ever, you know.
Well, thank you, Jen.
I would love for you to send it to me on my website.
And go ahead and give your website.
It's spiritofthebadge.com, and I am seeking out additional stories from civilian and military police officers for hopefully another book, and I am willing to give a free book, my first published book, in place of a story. So by all means, please send me any of your experiences that are police-related. I'd love to hear about them.
Let's see. Is it Corey in New York, east of the Rockies on coast to coast? Corey?
Yes.
You're talking Hello? With Ingrid. Go ahead. Yes.
Hi, Corey.
Hello. I've got to give you guys something here.
So we know you're real.
Okay.
I just had a little quick story. I work in a pretty rural area, and I sit in the same spot on this dark, desolate road every night. Looking for, you know, drunk drivers, stuff like that. I sat there for years. One night this car comes by, and it almost seemed like slow motion. I know I'm dark out. I know he can't see me, but I seem like this guy looked me right in the eyes. Went by. I didn't really have anything on him, but something said, follow this guy. He got a little bit down the road. I pulled out, followed him. There's a big bend. I come back around. And he had turned around and was coming back at a high rate of speed the other direction. By the time I turned around, it was a divided road. He had gone through a cherry tree, up over the divider, and rolled a couple times right over the spot where I'd sit. 2 seconds before where I'd sit, where I'd watched him come by. And I sat in that spot for years. I still sit in that spot, and something, I don't know what it was, something said, get out and follow this guy.
I was going to ask you, what made you move?
I don't know. I have no idea. Because I didn't have any PC on the guy to even follow him, but something just said, follow him. Something's up with that car.
PC being probable cause?
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's okay. I think we could mostly figure that out. But
I don't know what it was. Something just said, follow him. And when I come back around, he was heading back towards me, hopped the divided median, went through a cherry tree, rolled his car, right across the spot where I had been sitting.
Very interesting. Thank you, Corey. I'm glad you survived it. That may also be a good story for your next book then, Ingrid. So, Corey, make sure you get to the website and contribute it there if you can. Jay is in California, west of the Rockies on coast to coast, and we'll probably get one or two more before the top of the hour. Jay?
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Jay.
Good. I'm a police officer now for the last 12 years, but prior to that, I was driving truck through southern Utah, and I had a similar experience as the gentleman that was on earlier about the wake-up story.
Yeah.
I had kind of locked my elbows against my sides and was holding on to the end of the steering wheel, and had fallen asleep, and there was actually a woman on the southbound lane honking at me, trying to get me to wake up, which I didn't really realize until I woke up. But when I woke up, right prior to waking up, I heard someone yell my name very loudly. And I'm sure Ian can probably relate to this, is if it's that feeling is your wife thinks someone's in the house and she shakes you awake, it kind of startles you awake.
Oh, yeah.
When I woke up, I was between the northbound and the southbound lane in a bar pit, headed for, you know, where the highway goes over another road, and there's two cement lanes, and there's a gap between them that drops down to the other road.
Right.
That's where I was headed for. And I was in a two-ton truck, so pretty sure that if that one had happened, I would have been done for. But I always kind of related that to my subconscious, but it's happened twice since then, and it's both times have been when I was sleeping.
Right.
That's a fully developed subconscious. So, I mean, you should, if that's what it is, then you should be very grateful for that because it, it's been a lifesaver.
I also wanted to comment that I'm pretty sure that more police officers than they would admit actually rely on that intuition or that sixth sense.
Oh, I know they do.
Yeah, because there's a lot of situations, even that feeling of that I need to call another unit for backup. I think that if you have that feeling, that it's very important that you do so. So I've done that several times. So,
yeah.
Thank you, Jay. Appreciate that. And then Felicia, you get the last thought on this, I think, from California on the first time caller line on Coast to Coast. Felicia?
Yeah. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
Doing all right.
Good, good. I just had a little food for thought. I drive a lot for a living, and mostly here in California. Over the 10 years or so that I've been driving, I have to say, I'm really sensitive to spiritual things, and I see spirits in the road, maybe that have, been hit or passed away. I used to swerve out of the way. Now I just kind of know what they are and know about, my drive. But what I was wondering in regards to one of Ingrid's stories was the wake-up, and I was wondering if possibly that apparition that he saw was like a spirit that had possibly, gone off and hit that grate or whatever it is that he was about to go into.
That culvert, that he was headed toward.
Trying to warn him to get up to, save his life or whatever.
A hitchhiking spirit that was along that side of the road. I'm not being facetious. And that as he was passing through that area, maybe that spirit considers it their sacred duty to stop people from doing the thing which killed them.
Right, exactly.
Now, are you referring to Herman Brown that shared his wake-up story?
Yep.
Yeah, I've had a discussion with Herman in whether he thought it was an angel versus a ghost. And my understanding is that ghosts are not very bright. They're more, there's a line around them, but they don't shine like angels do. And Herman was certain that this was not your normal ghost because it was so bright.
I understand that, I think what Felicia's saying is very interesting, and thank you so much for being our last caller on this. Because I don't know that we ever have a plumb line on that.
Right.
We're going by paintings, or we're going by, the artistic representations that we see in movies. And so until I have some sort of actual horizon line of above what is a ghost or below what is an angel or something, I don't know. I'm willing to go with could be anything. All I know is it got him to wake up, and that's the most important thing. And thanks for keeping us up tonight, Ingrid, with true police stories of the strange and unexplained. And good luck on that second book and on your music, too, which I saw on your website, which I thought was very sweet. So and I hope that you keep getting great stories. Remember, you can go to our website and make your contribution there. Thank you, Ingrid. Have a great night and happy Halloween, everybody. Deus Tiamat. And I do, too.